The task of perfecting our union moves forward. Kick it! We want our children to live in America that isn't burdened by debt, that isn't weakened by inequality.
The Joe Show.
That isn't threatened by the destructive power of a warming planet.
On AM 930, Progressive Talk, KBAI.
Good Monday, Northwest Washington's only local live liberal progressive program right here on the Progressive Voice of the Great Northwest. AM 930, Progressive Talk, and I'm Joe Tien, here each weekday, noon till 1. A little bit later this hour, we'll get reaction from the Muslim community on the news that the two Boston Marathon bombing suspects are of the Muslim faith, were one, in the case of one, was of the Muslim faith, and that they had become increasingly radicalized, and but see things from Islam's perspective here in the United States. We'll talk with a leader of the Islamic community here in Western Washington a little bit later this hour. But first, are we on the cusp, perhaps, of being able to toss off the frailties of the flesh and live virtually forever? And by virtually, I guess I mean literally virtually, because we could be not far from having the ability to upload ourselves into a computer and thereby living indefinitely. And joining me to talk about this is Mark McClelland. He's a computer science whiz and author. His book is Upload, about this very topic. And Mark, thanks for taking time to be with us on the Joe Show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It takes me back to an original Star Trek episode where Kirk was on this planet and visiting an old friend who was a scientist. And well, the whole thing, as the movie goes through, he had indeed uploaded his own personality into this lifelike android. And the whole theme was that it had sucked out the humanity from him. But this is, just sounds, it's kind of mind-blowing. And you say we're not that far from this technology.
You know, I feel like we're getting relatively close. There are various people, you know, kind of projecting when it might happen. And, you know, Ray Kurzweil is a prominent futurist who talks a lot about this. And he puts it out as soon as 2070, which, you know, it could be within the lifetimes of people who are, you know, alive today.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, I guess, just uploading who we are, our personalities, our knowledge, all of that.
Yeah, the idea is to take a complete snapshot of who you are through a brain scan, essentially, and transfer that into a computer that is sufficiently complex to simulate a human brain.
And I guess at this point, and it's obviously theoretical, but how would that snapshot be taken?
You know, there, like you said, it is theoretical. I think a lot of the technologies are currently the stuff of science fiction. But there are projects currently underway that could advance this technology significantly just in the next 10 years or so. Obama recently announced the Brain Activity Map project, which would be a project on the scale of the Human Genome Project, and its goal would be to achieve that same degree of understanding of the human brain. Now, that involves a lot of different technologies to try to monitor and image the brain. And, you know, in my science fiction novel, Upload, the idea is that you're actually sending nanobots through the neural network of the brain and allowing them to map it as they go and then report what they've found, essentially.
It sounds like incredibly complex, but I guess it would have to be because we're talking about a very complex organ, the human brain.
Yeah, absolutely. There's, currently no computer that really even comes close in terms of the sheer number of connections that are made and the power to perform so many, tiny calculations at the same time.
And, of course, this whole idea, this whole thing would carry a lot of a lot of moral implications, a lot of ethical questions with it.
Absolutely. This could potentially change what it means to be human. There are so many issues that come up. If you suddenly have the ability to transfer yourself into a computer, you've potentially created an immortal life form. Just so long as you have a good system administrator and you can keep swapping out parts, that computer could live on across generations. There's also the question of how would you imprison somebody if they potentially have made they have the potential to make a backup of themselves. They have the potential to live an indefinitely long time span. What does it mean to to lock somebody up? Today, we use prison as a form of punishment, knowing that you've got this finite lifespan and you don't want to give it up. If you could theoretically live for thousands of years, what would be the impact of a 10-year prison sentence?
Mm.
It raises a lot of really questions that I think it's sort of stuff that we haven't really given a whole lot of thought to, but it's close enough that I think it's start to it's time to start talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about that. I mean, if you're able to in this digitized form, if you're able to move, obviously there would, as we make advances in computer technology, we're going to be making advances in robotics and that sort of thing. And if you're able to upload yourself into a human-like a computer, in essence, and a machine that could move that computer around, like you say, the possibilities are endless. Whatever your motivation, if you have evil intent, say you wanted to rob banks, you just send all your copies into a bunch of banks at the same time. I'm just thinking about the potential here, or maybe you'd use it for good, but it's kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it really is. It would be a kind of a quantum leap forward in human evolution, because it would give us the ability to enhance ourselves.
And it really would change what it means to be human. I'm trying to wrap my head around the whole idea.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we're made up by our experiences and how we react to them and how they've formed our person. A lot of that could potentially remain the same. In essence, I feel like a computer-based life form, deals with a lot of the same issues as any other life form. But you do get into these weird questions of identity. If you can back yourself up and create a clone, and potentially live two separate lives and then merge those two lives into one and benefit from having the memories of two paths, the possibilities are truly mind-boggling, like you said.
Mm-hmm. And you wrote a shorter article that was posted on the Huffington Post recently, and you mm-hmm. talk about the positives, how someone who maybe has an addiction they want to get rid of, maybe they could use this to just reprogram that part of their brain to get rid of that.
Yeah.
I would think maybe there are some other issues, disease and these kinds of things that could be avoided through this.
Yeah, and I mean, very simple issues of willpower. Yeah, I mean, who doesn't have something they wish that they had a little bit more control over? We have good intentions, and sometimes we just don't have the willpower and energy to follow through on them. What if you could, it's widely believed that the prefrontal cortex, which is a part of your brain, has a lot to do with your willpower. What if you could kind of beef that up and make yourself somebody who's better able to carry out your own intentions?
Yeah, and you also talk about maybe just having a backup of yourself. as we do now. We back up the data on our computers, and some do it in the cloud, and others physically with a hard drive or something that they might just store, and do the same thing with your, in essence, who you are, your personality, your person.
Yeah, it would sort of be the ultimate life insurance plan. You know, you could take risks that you otherwise wouldn't take, knowing that you couldn't roll back to a backup if something goes wrong.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. We're talking with Mark McClelland. He's a computer science expert, also a computer software developer, and author of the new book, Upload, Exploring the Future of the Computer and Human Mind Relationship. Quick break. Back with more here on The Joe Show on AM 930 Progressive Talk. Back in The Joe Show here on AM 930 Progressive Talk, and discussing the possibilities if we were to able to upload our brain, our knowledge, ourselves into a computer and live virtually forever. And the implications of this, my guest Mark McClelland, he is an author of the book Upload, which explores exactly that. And Mark, you said that speculation is that this is, maybe as close to us time-wise as maybe 60 years down the road or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to predict that kind of thing, but the rate of technological advancement just keeps getting faster, and it's entirely plausible that it could happen that quickly.
Now, of course, the big fear, first of all, is that loss of humanity and what we would resemble, and really to have computers in charge. And you say that that's a fear of yours, that we would shun this kind of technology, and out of whether it's through over religious concerns, that sort of thing.
Sure. From the religious angle, there's the obvious question of whether a computer-based life form can have a soul, and is it right for a human to think of a computer as a being that's on par with itself and that is worthy of God's love? I could easily see a religion banning members from uploading, because in a sense they are giving up their souls. They could view it as a sort of suicide, even though in theory you're just transferring what makes you a person into from one brain to another, which happens to be a computer.
Mm-hmm. I guess another concern I would think that and might prevent a lot of people from taking this step is losing that humanity, the humanness of being a physical, flesh and bone body. There are a lot of pleasures that we get out of being human.
In theory, those would not go away. The way that I picture it, the brain and the body are so tightly coupled. They're so intertwined. So much of your mental process is built around your senses, your muscular, your activity, and like you said, of being a flesh and blood body.
Mm-hmm.
If you could create a simulation of a body as well and pair that with the brain, you could feel like you're having the exact same experience, but within a virtual world. And you could theoretically hop from one virtual world to another, an experience, an existence that is entirely within a computer if you want. And that, to me, is where you get into some of the dangers of pure escapism. It's nice, in a sense, to get away from a lot of the problems of the real world. But if you forget about those problems, we as a species sort of have a role as caretakers of the planet. And if we've isolated ourselves from the planet through this layer of virtual existence, you lose touch with that. You could become more prone than ever to abusing the world that made it all possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of along these lines, it's a little bit of a different issue, but I've seen read speculation of a future in which the machines that we create, in essence, leave us behind, get to a point of being able to manufacture themselves, design themselves, their artificial intelligence is such that these machines can basically create their own world, and not through maliciousness they just basically would forget about us. They wouldn't need humans any longer. That they and they would become the dominant force on the planet, and would turn to using the planet's resources for themselves, and leaving us without.
Yeah, that's an interesting possibility, and I think that it's something that we have to keep in mind. But we are creating these machines, and it's up to us how much authority we give them, how much self-interest we give them. With prudent design, you could protect yourself from some of those possibilities. But even if they are taking over and leaving us behind, in a malicious sense at all, it does seem very likely that they will surpass us in their ability to understand and experience the world. And to me, that's what will drive us to want to join them, to want to benefit from the advantages of a computer-based mind.
Do you envision that, say, someone were to upload themselves, would they have those characteristics of the computer, being able to make these incredibly fast calculations and switch from task to task, and the things that amaze us about computers now?
I think that the core platform, the core essence of the sort of computer I'm talking about, is a little bit different from what we're familiar with. It would be a computer that really is built around the patterns and complex parallel calculations of a human brain. So at first, I think we would be moving into something that feels familiar, and that would be, I think, the number one goal of this sort of technology. From there, I think we could move into enhancements that make us think faster, perform logic more effectively. But at the same time, the computers, the way we think of them today, are going to keep getting more and more powerful. I think that you could potentially end up with sort of two branches of computing, one which is entirely logic-based and is kind of more what we're familiar with, and another which is a little bit more fuzzy and kind of resembles life, the way that we think of each other and of ourselves.
Yeah, I guess I get that, and I'm thinking about the implications there. I would think there would be the potential for that, maybe that conflict between the human you and what your electronic now brain can do, and like you say, it's just logic based and no emotion. And if that side could have the potential to take over when you're making critical decisions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I could see people becoming obsessed with efficiency, for instance, and trying to cut emotion out of their own, their selves. And that's where you start to get into what you were talking about, where the very essence of humanity starts to fade. And I think that that's something that you have to be very careful about.
Yeah, you talk about some other interesting things. And obviously, you've really thought about this from a lot of different angles. Talking about space travel, that you put a couple of astronauts on a flash drive and send them on their way.
Yeah, so to speak.
Yeah,
I mean the needs of this computer based life form would be a lot simpler, and you could essentially. We've talked about cryogenically freezing somebody and sending them off into space, but even that has complications that I think this would get you around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so just send them across the galaxy, and I guess when they arrive, and they wouldn't obviously have to have food or water or oxygen, wouldn't have to be kept warm.
Basically need a power source and some reasonable conditions, don't want to melt.
Yeah, true, yeah. But it's really amazing stuff. Once again, Mark's book is Upload, and folks can find that online, can they not?
Yeah, absolutely. It's available in ebook and print editions, and it's at most major booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, et cetera. You can also use indiebound.org to find the book through an independent bookseller.
All right, and it's not just science fiction. Are you a science fiction writer or a fan of science fiction?
Well, Upload is definitely a science fiction novel. Uh-huh. I never meant to be a science fiction writer. I just got really excited about this topic. And now that I'm on it, I feel like I'm probably hooked.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And as I said, I think back to that Star Trek episode from back in the 1960s, and this just seemed all so much science fiction. But the idea that, and when you think about where we've come in computing since that time, 1960s, to where we are now, and we're carrying these supercomputers in essence around in our pockets, we have really come in a long way.
Yeah. To me, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, Mark McClelland, once again, the book is Upload, and you can also find Mark's writings on Huffington Post. And I really appreciate your time, Mark.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. Thanks so much.
You bet.